Good evening and welcome to this session of Agar Meditation. So I was given this title when I asked yesterday what should be the title that I have to give and what should be the theme of this meditation. I was told this very title, Jo Vada Kiya Wo Nibhana Padega. I was told that many people in this group are committing to meditate every day, committing to listen to their conscience, committing to be truthful, to be honest, to be simple and uncomplicated. But many of them are not following up to their commitment, which is why I was told that this particular meditation should be called Jo Vada Kiya Wo Nibhana Padega. You have to follow the commitment that you are honoring, that you are giving to yourself. You know, the most important part in spirituality is very simple. It's a way of life. Spirituality is not a 1 hour thing. It's a way of life. It's something that you imbibe. It is through every single activity that you are spiritual. So while you're in the office, you work honestly, and there are situations that will come your way, so you must not lose your temper. You know, that's what spirituality is all about. So when you are with your family, then you have to make the best effort to be happy, to be firm, to give them the right direction, give your kids the right guidance. And as the kids mature into adults, then you give them whatever guidance is required when they ask for guidance. So you don't force yourself upon them. And then you have your personal sadhana. Your family becomes your playground. This is the first and most important ground to learn from your family members. You are reflecting through your family members so you can learn about yourself. So this is what spirituality is all about. It's not about sitting for that 1 hour or 20 minutes or 10 minutes in meditation. That's a part of the whole process. So you have to, from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed, you are spiritual. So you are in your awareness and you are spiritual. You have to do everything in the best manner that you can. You are bringing your capability to a capability alive, so you can organize your day, you can execute your day. This is the most important part of spirituality. So it's not something that you do for 20 minutes and forget about it. So when you, it's very simple, when you approach God, God is listening. He is listening to everything all the time. There's not one moment that he misses, because everything is in him. So there is nothing, there's no way that God can miss anything. So what you have to do is to primarily start your day with your prayer. Whatever your prayer is, whatever your faith is, you start your prayer when you start your day. And from there on, first you start connecting to your own divine self. Start connecting to your breath. Feel your breath. And if there are any thoughts, let them be. But just be with your breath for some time. Keep your back straight. Keep your neck straight. Sit whether on a couch or on a chair or on the ground. But make sure that you have a back, straight back and straight and neck aligned to your back. When you do this, your thoughts just reduce and you are in your focus. Now, once you are in your focus, the next thing that you do is to just focus on your breathing, focus on your awareness, focus on everything around you that's happening. But you're not going to judge anything. Nothing is right or wrong. Nothing is good or bad. Everything is as is. You're just going to observe everything as it is. And once you spend time for a few minutes in that, now return to your breath and start observing your breath. And you will see your thoughts will just reduce. And then you get into this moment of quietude, where it's just you with yourself. Now you spend some time here. Now what is the reason for you to do this? Now the reason for you to do all of this is primarily to center your awareness, to come back to your home, come back to your awareness, come back to your own divine self. That's who you really are. So So once you come back to your divine self, the next thing that you do is once you finish that, you get out of it. Now, this is where it all begins. Once you come out of your zone, the next thing you're going to do is to stay in that awareness for as long as time as possible. Whether the next thing you're going to do is to drink coffee or tea, whatever you're going to do, do it with that extended awareness. And now take it forward to your shower. You know, this is something very important. When we are showering, we get lost. Many of us don't even know that we showered. So we get lost in that activity because we're thinking about what we have to do once I get to office. Now, what is my agenda? And which road do I take? There'll be traffic. You know, we are lost in so many thoughts that we don't understand where we are. It's important for us to just be in that awareness, to take this awareness forward. Once you take this awareness forward, the next thing that you will see is that you are much calmer during the day. You're much more centered during the day. Take yourself through this awareness, whether you're having breakfast, when showering, for example. When you're showering, this is what I do. When I'm in the shower, the one thing that I do is I splash water on my face, so I'm in my awareness. I'm just present at that moment. So get back to that presence and then start showering. Feel the water on your body. You will feel so refreshed. Showering is a beautiful activity. But be there. Be there. That's being spiritual. You must be mindful of everything that you're doing. You must be in the awareness of everything that you're doing. And once you had your shower while you're dressing, be happy while you're choosing your clothes. Don't be in a rush. Be happy while you're choosing your clothing. And when you're dressing up, dress up well. Honor yourself. Spirituality is about self-worth. It's humongous. Give humongous value to yourself. You know, if you're being spiritual, if you say that I attend meditations every Saturday, and if you tell people that I meditate, then people have to know what meditators look like. How do they look like? Meditators have to look in their prime. Wow, you look great. What do you do? Your face is really shining. What do you do? I remember many years ago, there was this lady who had come with Parkinson's. She had come with a diagnosis, confirmed diagnosis that she had Parkinson's. I started working with her belief systems and all that. And after 2 years, the symptoms were yet to begin. All right. So the neurologist, who's one of the best in the world, the neurologist who are their family friend, he visited her for 2 years. He looked at her and said that it can't be. I can't believe that you haven't started your medication, because when you start the medication, your face changes. The face looks different. The muscles behave differently. But she had no such symptoms. And so he said, it can't be. I can't believe that you haven't started the medication. She said, no, I haven't started the medication. So what are you doing with yourself? And she told what she was doing. And then he visited me with his wife to understand what I was doing. You know, that's what meditators need to be like. You have to practice in such a way that it just shines through you. I mean, God just shines through you. We have a few people in the group here whose blood pressure has come down and whose blood sugar levels have come down, and they've stopped feeling tired. They're able to work more. They're able to be more productive. They are less perturbed by conflicts. They've seen changes. You know, there's one person in the group here who had so much of nastiness around him in the workplace. And when he started meditating, magic happened. The people who were creating the nastiness just left the job. They just left the job, and he's so peaceful. And he was so worried. What are they going to do? How am I going to live through this? He was so worried, so anxious. He was so troubled. He was lose sleep. His wife would call me and she'd say that my husband is feeling so distraught. He's feeling so depressed. But today he's meditating for more than an hour, sometimes 2 hours, and he is seeing so many changes. And he's not working in some ordinary job. He's at the top office. You know, and there's so many of them here in this group who are actually doing so great in their work only because of their practice. So commitment is one of the most important things that we need to practice. This is extremely important. See, imagine that you are a messenger of God. Can you believe that? Because when someone has faith in God, and then other people want to know, what do people who have faith in God look like? How do they behave? How do they interact? What does it feel like when you interact with them? You know, there was this guy who told me, he gave me his first-hand experience, okay? So he was working in a corporate company, and he was posted to Delhi. And he was staying in a room with three other roommates, all working in the same company. And so in the evenings after his work, he didn't know what to do with his time. So he started scouting around, and he found an orphanage. And he started going to that orphanage and helping those kids and teaching those kids. He took time out to teach them. And very soon, the kids took a liking to him. And then the school they studied was a school where all kinds of children would come. Children with parents and children without parents. And children with single parents. They all would come. So after a few months, it so happened that there was a school day. And so the teachers told them, bring your parents. Now these orphans, they approached him and they said that, you are like our father, you are like our mother. Would you come as our parent? He was so touched, and he would tell stories of God, and they all would listen to him. But then, so what happened was, he went to the office and he took permission in the office. This was about the school day was about 15 days away, about 2 weeks away. So he took permission from the school, and he said that I have to go to this school day function, so I want a half day leave. So the office granted the half day leave. Okay? And then when it was just 5 days away, 5 days or maybe 4 days away, the boss called him and he said that, hey, look, there's a team from England which is coming, and these are their clients, and it's very important for you to be there, and you need to do the presentation. He said, okay, so what do you want me to do? The presentation is ready. He said, yeah, we understand the presentation is ready, but we want you to do the presentation. He said, okay, yeah, I know that, because every time I present, nobody's it's on the day when you have your holiday, so we are canceling your holiday. He was devastated. He said, that can't be, because I promised these children, I committed to these children that I will be there as their parent. And finally he started, first it was plead and then it was argument, and it came to a point where the boss said, either it's your job or it's your school day function. He was so devastated, he didn't know what to do. He couldn't think, he was really lost to thoughts. He had to make a decision. And then he just turned towards God inside him, and he said, God, if I don't go, these kids will lose faith in God. So there's no way that I can let go of this opportunity for them to build their trust in God. And so with a lot of fear and anxiety and a lot of all kinds of emotions you can imagine, he just left the office and he said, God, I don't know what's going to happen. These kids will lose faith in God. I don't want them to lose faith in God. And he went away from the office to the school day function. So he went there and he participated in the school day from the evening. The kids were overjoyed with his presence. He represented them as their parent. And it was about, by the time he returned, it was about 10 p.m. So he had completely forgotten about the office, about the presentation. So he came to his room. And now I want you to just listen keenly. So when he came back to the room, one of those roommates asked, where is your shopping bag? And he you can imagine how his face looked. He was surprised. What shopping bag? I'm just coming to this place now. What do you mean by shopping bag? And they said, you just took the shopping bag and went. He said, what? I was in my school day function. And then he said that, what school day function? You were in the office. He said, no way, I couldn't be in the office. I mean, I was in the school day enjoying with those kids. And he had a bench mate. I mean, the next desk mate was another lady. And it was 10 o'clock. So, I mean, like, he was thoroughly confused. So he asked, I mean, he asked himself, what do I do? So he called this lady and she picked up the call. It was 10 in the night, close to midnight. And he called her and she picked the call. He said, I'm so sorry that I'm calling you at this hour, but this is really important. And he asked her, where was I in the evening? It's a bizarre question. He said, what do you mean? You know, where was I today evening? She said, you were working on the desk beside me. Said, and who did the presentation? He said, you, of course. You did the presentation. It went well. Everybody is so happy. He was thoroughly confused. And then when he came back and then he attended, he went back to his guru, his mentor, his God. He asked him to speak on the dais and told him what to speak. Tell them about your experience with God. Tell them God is above you, below you, in front of you, behind you. Tell God is everywhere. He cried. He didn't know. He didn't have words to explain. He cried because that day he realized that God worked for him because he didn't want to let go of the belief that he was giving to those children that God lives, that God is in us, in each one of us. So, don't let go of your commitment. There is somebody out there who is desperately looking for this help, desperately looking for God to help. And when they see you, they will get that courage. Something in you, that God in you will touch them. That God in you will flow to them. The God in you will give them that reassurance. That God in you will make them experience life once again. Give them another opportunity. Give them that courage. Give them the determination that I am there. Don't worry. I know it's tough, but you have to go through this. Because behind this tough times are all the lessons that you need to learn and come out stronger. It's not difficult for God to just come in their dreams and talk to them and to give them that realization. But God doesn't do it that way. He brings multiple benefits to multiple people. He puts it through us so that our karma is burnt. When we meditate, he just says that, okay, now I found another messenger who can do it for me. Nothing is difficult for God, but gives us an opportunity to serve others so that our karma gets diluted. That we burn so much more karma that we are that much less burdened with all that the world is causing to us, with all that we are doing to ourselves. So please hold on to this commitment that you will install God inside yourself. Don't let go of this commitment. It's so necessary. It's so important. Not for you. It's so important because there are so many people whom you don't know are taking you for an example. They won't even tell you. Maybe they don't even know. But somewhere, when they look at you, they feel better. Somewhere when they look at you, they feel reassured. Somewhere when you are in their presence, they feel calmer, they feel lighter, they feel happier, they feel more peaceful, they feel someone listened to them. So please hold on to this commitment. Don't let go of it. Because God has chosen you. So with this, let us start the Maypole. So for those of you who are new, you need to keep your back straight. So this means that your hips have to be at a higher plane than your knees. So if you're sitting on the ground, you can put a stack of pillows or blankets so that your back straightens up. Do not use a wall support. If you're sitting on a couch, then move to the edge of the couch so your back is straight. If you're sitting on a chair, then move to the edge so that your knees are below the level of your hips. If you're sitting on a chair or a couch, do not cross your legs. Keep them one beside the other. If you're sitting on the ground, it's okay for you to cross your legs. We will begin now. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. The size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. In front of you, think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. You can replace the sphere with any name and the sphere with any name and form of God that you worship or you adore, or you can also install a guru if you have one. In your inner space, see yourself walking up to this pole and holding onto a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And now, walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon, as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any clutter, any restlessness, any anxiety, any anger, frustration, resentment, or any other emotion that disturbs you. Let go of it. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain or distress, any anger, any disharmony that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. For 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, weakness, or even a sense of fatigue that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. And now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you, through the ribbon, its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love. As you breathe out, we are going to send this love back to the higher consciousness. So, as you breathe out, imagine that you're holding in your hands beautiful, colorful, fragrant, fresh blossom flowers of whatever type of flowers. Just hold several flowers in your hand. Every time you breathe in, receive this divine love from the higher consciousness. Every time you breathe out, hand over these flowers or send these flowers to the God that you worship or the Guru that you worship. Send it to them. With each breath, increase the number of flowers that you collect and send to God. And now, send these flowers to your family members, your parents, your siblings. If you are a parent, to your children also, send these beautiful flowers to each one of them. And just send it to them until you see a beautiful smiling face. Now send these flowers to your friends and acquaintances. Now send these flowers to your colleagues at work, to your business associates, to your vendors. Also send it to your friends and send it to people whom you do not like and whom you believe do not like you. Send it to all of them. Now see yourself standing in front of a mirror and send these flowers to yourself. You deserve them. Come back to conscious awareness and slowly open your eyes. So with emojis, just tell me, how was it? How did you feel? See, this is something that you have to do every single day. Start your day with this, end your day with this. Do not have any grudges. Do not have any anger. Don't take anyone for granted. Include all of them. Include all of them in your meditation. Send them the love that you're receiving from your higher consciousness. What does it take to send love to them? You just send this love to all of them. Life is so beautiful when you are in love. And this is the way. You can't be in love with someone because you'll have to maintain it. It's so difficult. Attitudes change, people change. But consciousness, awareness, God is constant. It doesn't change. The more you love, the more the love expands. And it happens every single time. You don't have to guess. God is the same every time. And when you love, when you are in love, when you love God, and that love expands. And what do you do with that love when it expands? You share it. When you share it, you expand, because every time you share it, you have that much more love to share. And when you start sharing love, you heal. There's not a moment of loneliness when you share love. Loneliness is just gone. You feel so full of this love. You're so vibrant with this energy. And that's the way to be. And you have to do this every day, like I told you, is because there are people out there waiting for this love. There are people who feel that they are not being loved, they are not being cared for. They are desperately seeking this love. And the only way that we can possibly include them in our journey is by sharing this love with them. And it costs you nothing to share this love. It's absolutely free. And that's what I want you to do. So, jo vaada kiya, wo nibhana padega. You have to honor your commitment. You have to honor your commitment to God. You are the one who told God, I am going to that place and do your work. I will be your messenger. And that's why we are all here. And that's why we are even thinking of God. That's why we are even thinking of unconditionality. We are even thinking of blessings. If we did not come here with these intentions, we wouldn't have met each other. We wouldn't have gotten together in any of these platforms or anywhere else. We would all be so lost. The very fact that we all want to go back home, to that eternal home, the very fact that we all sit to connect to our center, our heart center, is proof that we have come here as His messenger. Now that we are here, let us honor the commitment that we have given to God, that we have given to ourselves. So can you meditate every day? Can you be aware every day? Can you be loving every day? Can you put all your fears, apprehensions, doubts, all of them just behind and just say that, God, you are the one. So you are my starting point. You are my journey. You are my destination. And let everything happen through you. You know, I remember we are conducting a Nadi Pariksha training here, and today is the second day. And I was just telling this a few minutes ago, how we have to live. So I was conducting a Nadi Pariksha training many years ago. It was in 2013 or 14. I was kind of conducting this training for government Ayurveda doctors. And so I was in Haryana. This was a 24-day event, which was 8 days. Or 8 days training for each batch. I had 3 batches lined up. So, and then we had 2 days in between. So we had 28 days in all. And I'm doing the first training. So the director comes to me and he says, the second training is not happening. So my way is to just surrender to God. So I just reclined on the chair and I said, Hey Bhagawan, tu sambhal. Dear God, please take over. And then in 10 minutes, he left, and in 10 minutes he was back and he said, Maan gaye bhai sahab, aapka training jari hai. You know, so God just turned things around and said that, no way, you surrendered to me. So I'm going to take over. and that my training just happened. You know, so this is what happens. So when you honor your commitment, God works for you. He's on your side. And it's honoring your commitment is not much. It doesn't take too much out of you. All you have to do is to just sit. You know, we all want to meditate in the morning, but then when the time comes, we say that 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes. And then you forget your alarm and you wake up and say, oh no, I missed the meditation session again today. I don't have enough time, I just have to get ready and go to work. And in the night you again start, tomorrow I won't miss. And then your children ask you, can we watch this movie? Or can we go out for dinner? And you have to say yes because it's your family, it doesn't have anything to do with your commitment. And so you say yes, you go with them, and then you come back late. And then you tell, tomorrow morning is not going to happen because I came home late. So I'll start day after tomorrow. So your commitment just keeps getting postponed only because of you. No one else is responsible for it. You know what? When you honor your commitment, everybody else begins to respect you. They begin to ask you, are we available? Instead of telling you that, can you please come? And if you don't come, they'll feel sad. But they don't. They begin to honor you because you have serious commitments. You're connecting to God. So honor your commitment. So when you're connecting to God, it's not about sitting in your meditation. It's about connecting to God through every single task. Whether it's drinking water, whether it's eating your food, whether it's going to a meeting, whether you're traveling, whether you're flying, whether you're sleeping, whether it's waking, you're connecting to God all the time. And when you do that, you'll see that God is presence. You'll feel that presence. God arrives. Because the moment someone thinks about God, God just comes. God is not egoistic. God doesn't say that, oh, not enough, just 5%. No. God comes. Even if your commitment is small, He comes. Because He encourages you. He is your eternal parent. That's why He comes. All that you have to do is to have a commitment, and day after day, day after day, day after day, start honoring your commitments. You will see how it enhances your self-worth, your self-confidence. It just boosts. Your self-confidence goes so high when you honor your commitment. You feel so happy with it. You feel so content that you're honoring your commitment. You become a power center. People begin to come to you for solace. People come to you for strength because they believe that here is a person who honors his commitment. So he's the person we have to go to. He's the person who can guide us. He's the person who can lead us, he or she. And that's what I want you to do. Honor your commitment because you're a messenger of God. Don't let God down. Don't let yourself down. How difficult is it to honor your commitment? When you have honored your commitment, you feel so relieved. You feel so happy that you've done something for yourself. Please follow it. Are there any questions? Yes, Rashi, please unmute.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
This topic has been, I'm in lines of this only since past few days. So I'm also trying to honor all the commitments that I've made to family and meditating daily too. But somehow I find my family members in a bubble. everybody is in their own bubble. And somehow I'm reaching them, but then I don't know, some, not reachable also. And honoring my commitment, but then somehow everybody is in their own bubble, in their own zones. Just finding it difficult how we all should be together and honor each other.
There's nothing called as honoring each other. So you honor yourself. When you honor yourself, you honor others. Because you do to others what you do to yourself. It's as simple as that. So just honor yourself all the time. That's what you're going to do. You just, so it's what it means by honoring yourself is to not participate in arguments. You just pull yourself back and say that, I don't want to be a part of this. This is not where I belong. But if somebody needs assistance, you're going to be their assistant. You can help them with whatever they need. If somebody needs to discuss, you're going to be a part of a discussion. But if the discussion soon turns into judgment and arguments, you're going to pull yourself back because you're too worthy, you're too important, you're too powerful for you to just fall for arguments, for judgments. You are a part of God. So you're not just going to let yourself fall into arguments and judgments and criticisms. Just don't get into there. You are love vibrating in space.
Sir, in house, honestly, nobody's talking because they're in their own zones. Kids are in their own devices. Elders are also in their own place. So
I'm talking about you.
And very less interaction at home.
I'm talking about you. You with yourself.
Okay. Yes.
Love yourself. Honor yourself. And when you are cooking, cook with love. Become the best chef the world has ever known. Do it with so much love. Be so involved with yourself. You're just going to give it all while preparing your meals. And when you set the table, you're just going to tell them, you're just going to pray to God, may all that they need, all the nourishment, all the strength that they need, come through this food. You're just going to bless them. You don't have to speak a word with any of them. But be thoroughly involved in whatever you're doing, so that's that. You will not have time to be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you. It's not about anyone else. It's not so. It's not about how other people are. It's about you. You are on this call. This is about you.
So I was just thinking that after the session, I'm going to sit with each one and ask them how, you know, what are we supposed to do right now? Why, you know, how do we be with each other and not in our own bubble?
Why would you want to do that? This is what is called a spiritual ego. This is called a spiritual ego, where you got some little gyan and then now you want to give that gyan to others. Stop it.
No, it's not gyan, but I just want to know the solution for myself.
So if you want the solution for yourself, so the solution is inside you. Just involve yourself. Just be so involved with yourself. Why do you want to pull people who are not interested in being with you? You are not a part of their activity. So why would you want to pull them? Why do you want to pull them? Why do you want a crashing experience? Why do you want someone to tell you, leave me alone?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you? Are you not enough for yourself? Or haven't you discovered? Haven't you discovered yourself enough that you need other people in your life for you to experience calm and peace and happiness?
What I'm facing is with the with the children, they are not with their own duties, in spite of giving, in spite of telling them about
it. Set an example, Rashi. I think we can set up another call for this, but what is more important is for you to set an example. You have to set an example without expecting other people to follow the example, all right? You have to set an example without expecting other people to follow your example. Get busy setting up your example, okay? You are, please exemplify a spiritual existence. Exemplify a spiritual existence so that your family members, maybe 10 years down the line, maybe 30 years down the line, maybe after you're dead and gone, will realize that here was a person in our life who was constantly exemplifying spiritual existence, and we were caught unawares in our mobiles and we forgot all about her, and she died happy.
Mm-hmm.
Please set an example.
Yeah, I get you. Sure. I bet.
Are there any other questions? Right, so it's so important for us to just set these examples. We are messengers of God. We're not being arrogant, we're not being egoistic, but it is a responsibility. When you have discovered some peace in you, when you have discovered a time and space in your life when you can connect to your own divine self, when you have experienced that calmness, you have experienced something to turn towards, say that this is my time with myself. When you have discovered that, that means you have discovered the godliness in you. Now you are a messenger of God, and you have to be really up to it. You know, I recently met an army man who told me that he said we have a very simple principle, simple rule, call it. And he said that we have to be at the right place, at the right time, in the right attire. It is so important. So when we look at an army man, you see the way they dress, the way they look, they are so phenomenal. I mean, we look at them and just say, wow. They're not wow without reason, because they're following the discipline. Be at the right place, at the right time, in the right attire. So let us all be that way. Let us all be God's messengers. So which means that wherever we go, if we promise somebody the time, be there at the right time, because God reaches there. He's waiting for you. If you tell somebody, this is what my meeting is, go there and conduct the meeting in the most appropriate manner. Don't talk less, don't talk more, just be appropriate. And dress up well, because you're God's messenger. Don't go in all kinds of clothing, just go perfectly clothed. Just do it right. What does it take for us to do all of this? Nothing. It just takes a little bit of discipline, but that's the least that you can do to yourself. Otherwise, you're just letting yourself down and letting God down. Spiritual existence is a responsibility. It's not a burden. You have to take it upon yourself. You have to take that mantle upon yourself. There are billions and billions of people, and we are a handful of people who are meditating in this whole world. It's our responsibility to uphold all those people who are so lost. They need the guidance, but some of them are too scared to be nice. Some of them are too scared to be loving. Some of them are too scared to be happy. Some of them are too scared to go off to sleep, that they may not wake up the next morning. There are people with all kinds of fears and sorrows and anger, and they desperately are seeking help silently. They're desperate, but they're too quiet, they're too scared to ask for help. Some of them are so egoistic in their heads that, what will people think when I seek help? And when they are ready, they'll find you. And you need to be in your readiness when they find you. You can't say, yes, I used to meditate, I'd forgotten what it was like, let me come back to you. That moment will not come again. So please honor your commitment. Please meditate every day, because it's a responsibility. We're holding up this torch for God. We're holding up this torch not because He asked us to. It's because that's our responsibility. We found ourselves in Him, and we found Him in ourselves. And this is the call that He has given. So I hope this call made some effect to all of you. For those of you who are not meditating regularly, please stick to your commitments. If you have people you know who are a part of this group who are not meditating regularly, please ask them to meditate regularly. Please tell them it's important, it's necessary. This call will be uploaded earliest. So if you know somebody who wants to meditate, you can ask them to listen to this. This is important. This is necessary for all of us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your questions, for your participation. Really appreciate. So let's meet again next Saturday. Let's all stay committed. It is necessary. I understand it's not easy, but it's necessary. There is no other way but the way itself. With lots of love, I'm signing off. Let's meet again next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend. Have a beautiful week.